Hi, welcome to Pretty Much Done. I'm Julia Mazur. This week, I chatted with Amanda Thomas, founder of the jewelry brand Love AJ, which I know about because of the hoops Hailey Bieber wore, and I wear all the time. Amanda is hilarious, insightful, and so wise. We discuss her divorce at 32 and why the year after was the best, as well as what she calls horny girl winter. Here's Amanda. Well, hi guys. Welcome to Pretty Much Done. I'm so excited about today's guest. I literally stalked you. I heard you on Everything is the Best on Pia Barancini's podcast. Yeah. I was laughing the whole time and I was like, I need to meet this girl. And I slid into your DMs and I'm so happy to have you. You're the founder of Love AJ as well as your fine jewelry line. Amanda Thomas, welcome to Pretty Much Done. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited because, like me, you have had many a dating story.
Yes, yes.
I want to get into all of your dating stories, but what I was intrigued about was that you were divorced kind of young and you went through a traumatic divorce. I'm saying that. Wait, is that true?
No, for sure. I think divorce in general is like traumatic, but I feel like it was the best thing ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You're here advocating for divorce. Everyone, you heard it here first. Get out.
I know. I tell people, I'm like, it's so nice. Like, life afterwards is amazing.
Okay, well, kind of like run me through it, because obviously I'm pretty much done. We tell people about breakups and how people have healed and how they've gotten through it, and not anyone has died so far in these stories, and people kind of make it through. I've made it through. So tell me, run me through this traumatic divorce story. How did you meet? How did you get into this situation?
I met my ex-husband when I was pretty young. I met him in my mid-20s and we just like fell in love right off the bat. And we were engaged and married within 2 years of knowing each other.
Okay.
So it was like kind of quick.
Yeah.
We got engaged and married in 6 months. Yeah. We were together for almost a decade.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And then we got divorced in 2021.
Okay.
Which was wild because I remember like early COVID saying to him, being like, there's no way we're going to get divorced. Because, you know, people were just dropping like flies.
Totally.
I was like, there's no way. And then like a year later, we got to that point. So yeah, I mean, I can get into like, like the trajectory of things. But ultimately, divorce is super scary. I also think breakups are really scary, especially when you've been with someone for so long.
Yeah.
And you're really codependent and your lives are very intertwined.
Yeah.
I think the scariest part is dismantling your life.
Yeah.
That's what freaked me out the most.
Yeah.
Like, what does this look like? How difficult is this going to be? How much shit am I going to have to change? Am I going to have to compromise things in my life that I really like? But I didn't know what was on the other side.
Yeah.
But the other side was just myself and my happiness. And it's really the best.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I guess you hadn't really dated that much prior to meeting your husband or your now ex-husband.
I had like, you know what? I had definitely gotten my fair share of dating.
Okay.
Like I really had.
Okay.
Like I whooped it up for sure.
Vicky Gundelson?
Yeah. I was out in the streets of LA.
Okay.
Doing my thing.
Cool.
Like after college and before I got married, I really put myself out there and I did a lot of dating. But it's like dating in your 20s, it's all like drunk and stupid shit. You know what I mean?
So messy.
Like I don't even remember people taking me on actual dates. It was more like, I'm going to this club, meet me there. And then you go home with them after. It wasn't proper.
Totally. Do you know
dating?
That was happening to me like 2 years ago. Like I'm 29. Like at 27, the 35-year-olds are still taking the girls to the club.
Yeah.
So it might just be like an LA thing. I don't know. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's like you don't know what you like, but you just like the attention and you kind of just like want to go out with guys and like see where that goes and like have the story.
Yeah, there was just a lack of depth with dating in my 20s. But I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't seeking depth. I feel like now post-divorce, that was one thing that I was like very much seeking in terms of who I was going to find to date and be in a relationship with.
Yeah.
And if I met someone that I didn't feel like there was depth, but I was having fun with them, I was cool with that too.
Cool. So then is that something that was like a non-negotiable after your ex-husband? Was there like depth lacking in that relationship?
I think that I don't think there was necessarily depth lacking, but I think that we just got married really young. And just
you were how old?
20. We met at like 24 and okay. married at like 26.
Okay.
27. Which doesn't even sound that young, but it was.
No, it's we really were like young. Babies. Yeah.
We were babies. I don't think we understood like the magnitude of marriage and the magnitude of forever. And I don't think that we established the foundation it takes to survive a long-term committed monogamous relationship.
What do you think that is, the foundation?
I think it's a multitude of things, and it's things that I'm trying to establish now.
Totally. I'm asking you, like, I'm like, what is it?
I know this sounds maybe vague and potentially silly, but life values.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually worked with a life coach this year,
cool.
which was something that I just felt like I wanted to do just to get like my goals on track. Like I had goals, but I was like, I feel like I'm not getting them. So mm-hmm. I just wanted some extra like skills. One thing we did was go through like what my values were. And it was interesting. She gave me a list of 100 values and I had to rate them all 0 to 10.
Wow, I love
and
that.
And we first looked at the ones that were zeros and ones. And she goes, these are the things you don't value. So when you meet a guy, if he values any of these things, then he's not your person.
Can you give me an example?
I mean, this sounds funny, but like travel. I was like, I don't need to travel.
Really? It's so interesting because for me, that's like a 7 or like an 8.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't really care.
Cool.
Good. Like it just doesn't, I'll do it. Like it's fun sometimes, but it's not like super important to me.
Yeah.
You know, or like variety was one. Like I don't need variety in my life. Like I actually really like routine.
Yeah.
I like going to the same restaurants, doing the same things. I love consistency, and like having variety wasn't like top of my list. So
I love this. It sounds similar to what I tell a lot of my friends and I do myself. Honestly, I can't take credit for it. My therapist made me do it, but like she made me list my non-negotiables after my like mm-hmm. super toxic breakup. And she's like, what are your non-negotiables? Like moving into your next relationship. And this is what that sounds like. It's like, you know,
it's like step one, because I didn't even know what my non-negotiables were.
Really?
I thought I did, but I wasn't 100% sure. So I just had to like start on the baseline of just figuring out. Yeah. Like you have to have like commonality. And it's not like, I think sometimes when you start dating someone, you have commonality in like hobbies.
Yeah.
Like I was just watching Love is Blind and cracking up because these two people were like, we both love fitness. I'm like, okay, cool, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's not like a
that's
foundation.
That's like shit that you do together, but it's not things that you value.
Yeah.
So I think that was really important. And then also I think establishing pretty open and honest communication from the jump is really important. That's not something that I did in my marriage, but we were just babies. Yeah. Like, we didn't know, you know? It was nobody's fault. We just didn't really like... do that. So that's something that's important for me, where I just do like weekly check-ins. Are you good?
Cool.
Am I good? What bothered you this week, or what stuff did you like?
Yeah. And if like someone's intimidated by that, then that's not your person.
Like that is the answer.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't want to have a conversation with you about that stuff, as much as it stings, it's not your person. I mean, I had that. I dated someone that I was super into, but he didn't want to go there with me. And I was like, damn, this really fucking hurts. But then I was like, we can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Was that post-divorce?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the older you get, like it gets harder for sure to find your person.
Yeah.
Because you just start to like weed out.
You know too much.
You know too much. That's the problem.
I've been saying that to myself. I'm like, I just have so much like wisdom, I feel like, from being divorced and seeing how a relationship can just go down so quickly. And I just don't want to do that again.
I mean, you say quickly, but you guys were together for 10 years. So like, how did you like see the light? Like when did you have this like aha moment, or was it mutual?
I think ultimately it was mutual, but I think what happened was we just got very distracted with building our companies, going out, having fun, and just living our lives on the surface level.
Mm.
And we weren't really like connecting one-on-one and didn't really have that depth. So then when shit started to get real and started to get hard, we didn't really have that like connection and foundation to weather the storm.
Yeah.
I think like one weird analogy that I've thought of through therapy and stuff is I felt like it's almost like there's a fire on the beach. And if the waves get to the fire, like that fire is never getting relit.
Yeah.
Like it's done and dusted. Like it's just never going. So one of you or both of you needs to stay up during the night to make sure the fire is being stoked. It's going to be better if you both can stay awake.
And
it's also about putting small things into the fire to like tender it versus big ass logs. So, you know, in a relationship, if things are going down, doing a grandiose gift or surprise for someone that doesn't like fix things. You just have to do little things every single day.
Totally.
I think that's something I totally didn't do.
Totally. And he didn't. And you guys just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's about tiny little acts of kindness and love towards that person all the time.
Do you know what your love language is?
Yeah. I think physical touch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you show love in that same way? Because you can give it and show it differently.
Yeah, I definitely show it that way. And then I also think, like, I'm good at acts of service. Like, I love being helpful.
Cool. Yeah. Because you, when you said gifts, like, yeah, I don't think that that'll work for me either. But, like, for someone who's gift-giving is their love language, like, maybe it's, like, if you continue giving gifts, that works. But I understand your analogy of, like, needing to stoke the fire all the time. It's why people say relationships take work.
Yeah, and you just have to do little things all the time, which I don't think that I did.
Yeah.
Or we did. So, yeah.
And it was just like a scenario of you not knowing any better. Like, so I'm curious, like, because for me, I've grown up where my mom is like, you need to get married and have kids. Like, that is just her story. I come from like Jewish immigrant family and like they got married at 21 and had kids. And my mom always like repeated that to me for so long. And so I felt like I was always dating kind of to marry and not being able to like figure out who I liked, what I liked. And I got in so many relationships just because it was like the good on paper situation. Yeah. So I wonder for you, what was it that led to you getting married? Like, I'm interested in that perspective.
Yeah. So I don't think I ever was the girl that dreamt of a wedding or like some Disney fairy tale shit. Like that wasn't my vibe.
Yeah.
But I met this person and it was just a spark and I just could see my life with him. And I was like, yes, what's up? Sign me up. And at that point, it just was what you did.
Everyone like, was doing it around you?
Everyone was doing it.
Really?
Yes. Oh my God. Like I was the first one, but like everyone was kind of like inching towards
it.
And then once I did it, like within the year, you know, I went to like 20 weddings or whatever. So it was kind of like, is this just like something you did?
No, totally. I'm the only one of my friends who's not married. My Russian Jewish friends. I have like other friends. But I get it.
And I also think for me, it was really interesting. So my parents were together for almost 40 years.
Amazing.
But they broke up.
Why did they do that?
Because they weren't in love anymore.
Yeah.
And my mom, you know, my mom really wanted to pursue happiness. And I was very supportive. Like my whole family was super supportive of that. But yeah, like my parents broke up when I was in my 30s. And I was like, wait, what? Like, it kind of shattered my concept of forever.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about forever, which sounds stupid considering I got married.
Yeah.
But I hadn't really, really thought about it. And like, what do I believe? And like, what do I really think about it? I think when my mom and my dad broke up and then my mom found love again, it was just like a total eye-opener where I was like, you actually can have happiness in multiple chapters of your life.
Yeah.
And you don't have to settle for being unhappy forever just because you are like adhering to this
societal pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think happiness comes in chapters. So for me moving forward, it's not about finding the one and finding a person to spend forever with. I'm doing air quotes, guys. That's what I'm talking about. But I think it's about prioritizing my happiness as number one, no matter what, and ending chapters when it's no longer serving my happiness.
So cool. I hope that this doesn't like make a man feel like, you know, so many men are like, well, she needs to take care of me. And what about my happiness? But I think that the cool part is like, you're not going to be happy in that relationship if Amanda's not taken care of.
Yeah. And I also think that when you take care of yourself, you are happy.
Yeah.
Then you are an incredible partner to be with.
Yeah.
This is funny, but
I just read this crazy book.
What is it? I just read The Heart of Tantric Sex. sex.
Oh my God. I feel like my therapist tells me to like watch tantric sex videos on YouTube.
And those are boring.
Okay.
The book is very interesting. I just wanted to like learn more about it.
Yeah.
But one of like the main concepts of it is you're supposed to focus on yourself.
Uh-huh.
Like during sex versus the other person.
I mean, that sounds really convenient for me because I can be a little lazy in bed.
Yeah, but no, it's about like, you know, shifting your focus from like trying to please someone and seeing how they feel to be like, no, like just receiving and feeling good. And I kind of like took that tenet as like, okay, that's something I should just put in my life.
Yeah.
Not in just my sex life, but I'm like, okay, if I feel good and I feel happy, then at work I can be the best boss ever. And my relationship, I can be the best girlfriend ever.
What are those little things that you like do on a daily basis that like make Amanda happy?
I'm like a psycho Virgo.
Yeah, me too.
So I love...
I've had a lot of Virgos on this podcast. Really.
I just love like consistency and routine. So I like to wake up at the same time every morning. I love to do my morning workout with my trainer. I love to have my same breakfast, which is like an egg omelet and avocado with truffle hot sauce. I love to like squeeze in some sort of like little self-care situation, like nails or a facial or a massage.
Yeah.
I just love that shit. Yeah. And then a couple phone calls with people I like. And then the rest is just business, getting shit done.
Yeah. And then Amanda can like show up in the relationship, show up.
Yeah. And I feel good. I feel like calm and centered and ready to go.
I love that. Yeah. There's so many good like little tips you've already thrown, but not to drama dump, but like I want to go back to like, I've never been divorced, obviously. Yeah. Like, tell me what that conversation is like of we're in COVID. We just told each other we're definitely not going to be these people who are all getting divorced. How do you have that conversation?
God, it's pretty brutal. I think that we were both really sad and we could tell that it was nearing that. So then we started to have a conversation like, what would it look like if we broke up? And then at first we were like, ooh, I don't know if we're ready to talk about it. And then we started to be like, okay, let's like put a timeline on it and let's try to make this work. And then we went into pretty extensive couples therapy, which to me was very enlightening.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it. I feel like I got a lot out of it.
Yeah. Do you think he didn't?
I think we had very different experiences with it. I don't think he loved it.
Yeah.
Like in retrospect, I definitely loved it.
Yeah.
And I think it's something if I get into another very long-term committed relationship that I maybe have a baby with someone, I want to start doing therapy before it's bad.
I know. That's what everyone says.
But no one does it.
Because people are scared of what it's going to sound like.
I know. Yes. I think it's...
I know.
It's the big ticket item.
I think so, too.
It's so cool. Just even if you do it once a quarter.
Yeah.
And like four times a year just to check in with a moderator. Because obviously you're going to like check in and have conversations, whatever. But when you have like a third party there.
Yeah.
Also, you know what I think you should do, too, is like... Your partner should be at a different location. So you guys are all just on Zoom.
Oh,
so
really?
Not the same room. Because I think sometimes being in the same room, you don't feel like you can like speak as freely.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because their energy is right there.
That's fair.
You don't want to upset them. But if they're in a different room, different location, I think you can really be real.
Maybe this is like sneaky of me, but like I did couples therapy in my toxic relationship. There's three sessions. And then I was like, I got to get out. But I was like looking at my therapist to like look at her eyes, like when he would say some crazy ass shit. And I was like, I need to catch the eyes like in person, you know, I'm like, you're on my side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is probably toxic. And like, I'm not supposed to do that.
Marriage counselors very much so do not take sides.
Yeah.
They very much so don't.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes frustrating because you want to feel validated. But ultimately, I think it's great because then you get to work through problems and be a lot more honest than you typically would just one-on-one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did marriage counseling and then it just got to a point where nothing changed.
Yeah.
Not one thing changed. I started journaling every day during that period and I would rate my day 0 to 10. I actually still do this every day. I rate my day 0 to 10.
Cool.
Because I think it's a really great way to quickly go back and assess how you've really been feeling. Because sometimes our mind can play tricks on us where we remember good things or just bad things.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I'm like, oh, my God, I had such a shitty month. Go back and look at my journal. I'm like, I got 8s and 9s and 10s. Like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I had, like, 2 shitty days.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to have a daily check-in with yourself. And for me, it was just rating it 0 out of 10.
Yeah. This is very Virgo of you, by the way, to like collect the data.
I know.
The data on the month.
Yeah. And it just was like, we were both really unhappy. So it was just time to pull the plug. But in terms of getting divorced and the process, it was not as terrible as it possibly could have been. It was pretty amicable. There was no fighting.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty quick.
How did you feel telling people?
I just remember when we decided to really do it, I went to lunch with my friends and I was in the car on the way there crying and I just felt amazing.
Really?
Yeah. And I felt so guilty. I was like, I feel so like, am I a terrible person?
Yeah.
But now that, you know, a year and some changes passed and I'm here, I'm like, no, I'm so proud that I did that.
Yeah.
So proud that I had the balls to leave.
It takes a lot of balls.
It takes more balls to leave than it does to stay.
Oh, so much.
I had to dismantle my whole life. And I think for me too, one of my biggest flaws is like caring about what people think of me or, you know, caring about the perception of me. And I think, you know, I worked really, really hard and had this big, beautiful home and like had a marriage of almost 10 years and it was a lot of things that I wanted and I had to like give all of it up in order to be divorced.
Totally.
So it's a big pill to swallow, but it was definitely worth it. And I'm more of a humble bitch than I was then. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like obviously really hard to do and it's like easier said than done. But I think I would have respected the Amanda who like got out. I know I would have respected a man who got out and got the balls to get out than the one who like looked miserable in her relationship. And I would like, you know, see at dinner and be like, what's up with her? Like, why is she so sad?
Yes. Like sad girls are very 2020.
Yeah.
My new thing, it's all about horny girls.
Okay.
And this is more of just like a state of mind.
Okay.
Where like, the horny girl is just the girl that has like zest for life, down for whatever.
Love that.
Wants to have fun no matter what she's doing. If she's, you know, working on an Excel spreadsheet or like up in the club, it's about having fun. And it's also about embracing your sexuality, whether it's just like just feeling good about yourself and your body, like taking nude photos of yourself just for yourself, like putting makeup on because it makes you feel cute.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you're single or not wanting to date or in a relationship, just being like fun and flirty.
Cute.
It's like my new mindset.
Horny girl winter.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
that. Horny girl winter for sure.
Okay.
Just horny girl worldwide.
Tell me about horny girl Amanda post-divorce. Did she get on? She got on Hinge, didn't she? She was a horny girl.
Oh my God. So I made like a pact with myself. I was like, I'm not going to go on the dating apps until my divorce is finalized. Because I also didn't want to like be on dates.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's the status? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to be like divorce in the state of California. So I started dating like a year ago. Exactly.
Okay.
Like right after Halloween. And it was so much fun.
Because you had not been on the apps.
No.
It was a whole new world.
I've never been on them. And I just like wanted... I was just like, let's go. Like, whatever this is, let's go. Off the jump, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. Like, you can easily fill up your week with a bunch of like dumb dates so fast.
Were there a lot of horny guys too?
Yeah. And I was just like going on dates with like people that I'm like, oh, I would get there and I'd be like, why did I say yes to this?
Yeah.
So then I learned the ropes pretty quickly where I became more and more discerning. But I think for the first couple of months, I just was having fun and I didn't want a boyfriend. So I'm like crime catch
they
on Hinge.
They love that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a girl that doesn't want a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had so much fun and I feel like I was almost like at a buffet, like sampling all these different flavors. And I was more just learning about what I liked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's market research. You never had one where you were like, ugh, I miss my husband, ex-husband?
No.
Literally no?
No.
No one was ever like cheap and like weird and like...
Yeah, for sure. But I would just go home to my beautiful bed and my amazing house and be like, I'm so glad I'm alone.
Yeah.
I don't have to ever see that person again.
Yeah.
I didn't really have that many bad ones. I had like some crazy crazy encounters, but not really any bad ones. I only went on one date where I was so fucking bored. He was asking me what my favorite Lord of the Rings character was, and I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
But that's it. The rest have been entertaining at its worst.
Was there ever a magical one? Actually, on the podcast, you said the magical one, and this is not like a true crime podcast, but it might as well be, because this ghosting story is like,
yes,
it literally has me spinning.
That was a magical one, but it didn't end well. I actually did have a really good magical one.
You did?
And this was interesting. So I went out with this guy. Oh my God. I went out with him day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. And he was a little like hippie dippy for me, mm-hmm. a little like woo woo.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, nice guy though. Yeah. So nice. But it was just a vibe. And like we had drinks and we kissed, and the kiss was like electric.
Cool.
I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So he's like, I know this is nuts, but do you want to hang out Friday after Thanksgiving? I was like, yeah, sure. So Friday, we go to drinks, and he's telling me a drinks. He's like, I used to be really fat when I was a kid.
Honestly, those are the best guys.
Yeah. And he's like, I never went to prom. I never went to a dance. He goes, can we go dancing?
Fun.
And I was like, yeah, we can go dancing.
Where do you go dancing in LA?
We went to the break.
Yeah.
In Venice.
Yeah.
We went to the break. And then he's like, do you want to take shots? And I'm like, okay. So we start like ripping shots. Then we start drinking vodka Red Bulls.
Oh, no.
Like high school status. And we just freak danced on the dance floor in the crowd. We got so hammered.
Oh, my God.
Went home, did the deed.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Was it as electric as the kiss?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And then we just realized we're just better off as friends.
Are you still friends?
Like, we're totally friendly.
Yeah.
We just ended on a really good note. Like, that was it. It was just the one time. And then, yeah, we just realized we're better off as friends, and it was really cool. And I was like, that was so fun.
See, this is the mentality people have to have with dating and dating apps. It's like, this is just really fun, and you never know. And, like, I think the issue with women, myself included, is, like, you're looking to see what's going to come of this date. And it's like, don't. Just take it for what it is.
It's almost impossible to do that if you're in the headspace where you're looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
I was not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just looking for fun. So fun is what I was finding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it changes when you start looking for.
Well, now you're in a relationship.
Yeah, I know.
How did that happen?
I met him on Raya.
Like every love story.
Little question. Raya. Yeah, we matched on Raya. Well, this summer, I just went and got like a fertility assessment, and it didn't go well. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to hit the pause button on dating. And I deleted every app except for Raya, because if you delete it, they make you reapply.
Okay.
So I was like, I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
But I'm not like swiping on it. Because I was like, I'm going to freeze my eggs and I'm going to be out of commission. So I get a little ding ding thing on my Raya. You have a match. And he messaged me and we started chatting, and he was so funny and so cute. And then he was like, I think we have a mutual friend. And it was one of my best friends. So I texted my bestie and was like, do you know this person? My bestie said, if you even get to be his friend, you'll be the luckiest person in the world. I was like, that is a glowing review.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, let's go out on a date.
Honestly, I'd be pissed at my best friend. I'd be like, why didn't you set us up sooner?
I know. And he's like, I never thought of it. So yes, we went on our first date. It was just great. Like, just so easy, good conversation. But our second date is where I feel like it was like, this is a vibe.
What is the main thing about him that's like so different than anything you've kind of had? Like, what is it for you that you're just like, this feels good?
I think my favorite thing about him is he listens to everything I say.
Wow.
So he just is very thoughtful.
Yeah.
He's gonna kill me saying this, but it's so funny. This is what made me like him
sold.
So much. So on our first date, I love asking stupid hypothetical questions.
Yeah, I'm about to ask you some.
And I was like, if you had $5 at 7-Eleven, like, what would you buy? So he's like telling me whatever candy he'd buy. And he's like, what about you? And I'm like, I love trolley bright crawlers, like those sour worms.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are those? I'm like, I swear to God, they're at gas stations. And then the next morning, he sent me this video, and it was as if it was like him laying in bed with his underwear on. And it was as like, it starts out as if he's going to like put his hands down his pants. And I was like, oh my God, is he really sending me this?
Second date.
And then he pulls a bag of Charlie Brightcrawlers out of his pants.
It's really cute.
And I'm like, wait. I'm like, did you go get them? He's like, yeah, I literally went to different gas stations after our date, found them, and then filmed the video.
That's really cute. Also, that sounds like he has a really good sense of humor.
He's so funny, but it was the combination. I was like, you're hilarious, / I love that you listen to me.
Cute.
I think it just goes above and beyond. Like, guys aren't really thoughtful all the time.
I don't know if we're jaded because of LA, but yeah. I think it's an LA thing too. It's like guys are kind of just out here looking out for themselves in LA and like what they can get and what the next situation can be.
Yeah. I think another thing too, I think as independent women, as many of us are, we don't really like to ask for help. I don't like help. Help makes me uncomfortable. If you're going to help me, I'm literally going to compensate you monetarily or usually with another sort of
I'm the same way
like favor, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want anything for free from someone. It just feels weird to me. So I've just never had someone that wants to be helpful, and he loves helping me out and just doing stuff for me. And I think it's been hard for me to accept that, but I finally was like, okay, I'll let you help me. And it's really nice. It's such a nice feeling.
I mean, your love language, the way you show, is acts of service, you said. So you have to receive it, too.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm totally right.
I'm going to ask you some hot takes about dating, and I want you to answer them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Can you stay friends with an ex?
I mean, my short answer is no.
No.
And this is my personal experience. Everyone's different. Ironically, my boyfriend is friends with all of his exes.
Okay.
And it's not weird. They're all so lovely and so great.
You've met them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He like hangs out with them all the time. They're awesome. But for me, I'm good. I don't need to be friends with my exes.
Yeah.
I don't need to hang with you.
Yeah.
Don't really need to see you. Of course, the occasional interaction or communication is fine, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think it works if like you both have moved on and like you're both with different partners, and it's like the every now and then like chit chat.
Definitely. I think it's key that they're in a relationship and you're in one too.
Totally.
If it's off balance, it's no good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think pays for a date in a hetero relationship?
My thing is I like the guy too.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with my boyfriend. I like keeping that part of like the chivalry, if you will. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really nice and really special, because when you start to intertwine your lives with another person, especially because when I was married, like, you know, my finances became very 50-50.
Yeah.
I think it's really nice to have one thing that your man pays for so you can feel special, because you feel different.
Yeah.
It feels completely different to split a bill than have someone pay for it.
Totally.
So that's one thing that's like a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And will like I forever want them to take me out on dates. Not every meal.
Yeah.
But just.
How do you think you like say that? I feel like that's the issue for women. It's like we do the like delicate dance and like.
There really is no right way. But I think if you are going to say it, you need to say it in a way that like empowers them and makes them feel like desired and wanted.
Yeah,
like,
it makes it so
like,
sexy.
I love when you take me out. I love going on dates with you.
Yeah.
When you take me to dinner, it makes me feel so close to you. It makes me feel like so feminine. And it's just something that I think is really special in our relationship. Like, you know, something
totally.
Like that.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Okay. So then in that same token, who do you think should plan the date?
I mean, I think that's 50-50.
Yeah.
I think if it's like on your side of town, you do it. If it's on their side of town, they do it. But I like to split that up.
Even on a first date, or because I feel like it shows like the guy's taste. Like if a guy's like, we're going to do this, I'm like, oh, cute.
First date, I think they should pick.
Yeah.
100%. Also, then you can judge them.
Totally.
I gotta pick some whack ass place.
Totally.
I matched with this guy on Hinge. And then I was like, where do you want to go? And he picked like some plant-based pizza joint on Lincoln.
What did you say?
I literally didn't go on the date.
Really?
What the fuck would I want to go there? It's like some gross, shitty, gluten-free cauliflower. I don't even want to eat that, let alone be there.
Honestly, Gracias Madre makes my stomach hurt like every time.
I'm absolute down versus lingerie. But no. Also, I think for guys and for girls, I think it's okay to have your go-to first date spots and your go-to first date outfit. So I wore
the first date outfit is key.
Yeah, I actually wore the exact same outfit on every single first date.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was like just a little bit sexy, but not too sexy.
Yeah.
It was like pants and a top, so I didn't look too like dressy.
Yep.
It worked for a nice place or a not nice place. And then I wore like a little Manolo kitten heel.
Yeah.
It was perfection.
Yeah. And when it gets cold, you just throw a little blazer on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
But I like doing this. Yeah. And like you have like your go-to restaurants for your first couple dates.
Yeah.
That you like.
What's yours?
I mean, I love Hillstone.
I love it too. By the way,
it's like sexy in there.
Cute boys like Hillstone. Like cute boys are always there. Like it's somewhere where my parents go all the time, and I'm like, hey.
No, it's it's the perfect restaurant.
Yeah, it is. It's a good one.
You can eat healthy or not healthy.
You can pretend you're eating healthy too.
Cocktails are bomb.
Yeah,
lighting is on point.
Yeah, there are a few locations spread around town, so you can really just hit them all.
Yeah. For reals. So are you a Pasadena boy?
Yeah.
We're good.
You know, I've never dipped my toe into Pasadena.
Yeah,
am I missing out?
And it's like, just very like suburban.
Yeah.
I mean,
the boys aren't hanging out in Pasadena.
The boys aren't in Pasadena. No. No.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Now I want to ask, should you text thank you for the after the date? Like, should you be like, thanks for the date?
150%.
Yes.
You have to.
Are you crazy? I thought you were going to say no.
No, you always have to say thank you.
No, but I think that you need to see if he's going to text you back. I feel like it's like a way of a girl being like, let's see if he texts me back.
I just always do.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Because I think it's the polite, courteous thing to do. And I think that you send that text, it's not like you're sending the text to open the conversation.
Yeah.
It's not like you start bantering afterwards because it's usually at the end of the night. But at least, by the way, I only send this to someone I want to go on a second date with.
Yeah.
For reals.
Yeah.
But then you send that and then it's like ball is fully in their court.
Yeah. So it's okay. Like no harm, no foul. I mean, what if you said thank you on the date? Like what if you were thanks so much, had such a great time?
I would still text.
Okay.
That's just me though.
Okay.
I totally see where you're coming
from. It's
where you're like trying to, you know what I mean? Like, what do they say? Like men love bitches.
Yeah.
So I get that. But I would not be sending the one after.
Yeah.
They're asking, send a text.
Oh, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. So you're waiting for them to be like, had the best time. And then you say, thank you.
Usually I feel like the guy does say that. I will send a thank you text.
No matter what.
Yeah. Like end of the night, I'll send a thank you text.
Okay.
Just like out of my...
I don't know that I'm
like just like my like my manners, I feel like.
Yeah.
Not even trying to play a game.
You threw me. I thought you were gonna be like 150% no.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I see where you're coming from.
My best friend does it and she's like, you should definitely do it. It's like something we just disagree on.
Yeah.
But I think it's nice. And there's nothing, I guess there's no harm in it. Like if he's not your person, he's not your person.
Yeah.
That text is not gonna like do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think in any way you slice it, no matter what the context. If like a text is just a text, if he wants to communicate with you, he's going to text you back.
Totally.
If he does not text you back, he does not want to text you back.
Totally. Yeah.
People are on their phones 24/7.
Yes.
If he wanted to, he would.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a tough one as well. I've had a bunch of those.
Yeah. But it's not
like,
you.
Yeah.
It's
maybe just... I'll send one more. And I'm like, no, bitch. He doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah, I've been there. The drunk text, and then you like you delete it so that you don't see it.
Yeah.
You're like, that never happened.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on posting a significant other on Instagram?
Oh, this is very interesting.
Really?
I haven't done this yet.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to post my boyfriend and I are going to Mexico next week. So I'm going to post him.
Are you going to do an arm or are you going to do the whole thing?
No, I'm going to do the whole thing. The arm is the best.
The little soft launch.
So the arm is my favorite post ever. And when people do it, I send like flame emojis and hearts. And I'm just like, yes. Like, I love an arm.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a tattooed arm.
What if the arm's on your thigh?
Ooh, even better. Or the arm holding the stem of a wine glass on the table. The arm is absolute fire. I think the arm is the perfect soft launch. I think another good soft launch is when you do the multi-image carousel.
Yeah.
And you throw him in maybe image 4 or 5 and you do not tag.
Yeah.
That's that one also is fire.
Wild. Yeah, that one is
That's
crazy.
Fire.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to skip straight to the front of the line. And I think I'm going to do like IG story post of maybe a kiss. We'll see.
Horny girl winter.
Yeah. We'll see. Now that I said it, I probably have to do it. But no, I'm ready to post them.
Yeah, I'm ready. But I'm ready to watch.
Like, I don't know. Instagram's like.
It's a crazy place.
It's a weird place. I don't like to share too much on there.
You got
to
be careful, but whatever. Do you? You've been through. You've gone through a divorce. You'll be fine.
I'm on a podcast airing my dirty laundry. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to post too much on Instagram.
Okay, now I want to do a quick little rapid fire.
Okay.
So these are about you. I want to hear one quote that you can tell yourself that'll get you through a breakup. People listening, like, what's one thing that you just kept telling yourself?
Like, I had a recent one. It was like a situationship, but he dumped me and it really bummed me out.
Yeah. The situationships always like hit harder for some reason.
Yeah. Cause you're like, you wouldn't even commit to me and you're dumping me.
Yeah.
Ouch. Double whammy. I think it was just like my person is going to want me.
Yeah.
I need to shift my focus to people that want to be with me.
Yeah.
And like, I forgive that person for just their fuckboy ways. And also I feel grateful to have had those experiences with those people so I can learn how I should be treated.
Totally.
It's like the what not to do.
Love that. One piece of advice to give to 20-year-old Amanda.
I think going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think it's like, don't be afraid to go deep.
Yeah.
Depth is very scary.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to.
Yeah.
In my 20s.
Almost because you're scared to know what lies underneath that depth.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what's going to...
I don't want to pull that rug up. There's a bunch of shit under there.
Totally.
But also, too, I think in your 20s, you're a baby child. So yeah. I don't even think it fucking matters.
Honestly, maybe that's what you say to 20-year-old Amanda. It all doesn't fucking matter.
No.
You're going to figure it out.
Part of me wants to be like, oh, don't get married. But I wouldn't change that for the world. I like love that I'm married and divorced.
Yeah.
I love it.
You thrived after and you like figured it all out.
I'm so grateful for that experience. Yeah. I'm grateful for that person.
Yes. Yeah.
I was with. And despite everything that's happened, I'm really a grade A version of myself.
Totally.
So I'm happy for that.
Totally. What was the biggest red flag that you saw in your relationship but you ignored?
I think that lack of honesty and transparency.
Okay.
And ignoring your gut.
Oh my God. We have to do a whole nother podcast episode about gut.
That's been my main thing that I've been working on in therapy and with my life coach is just retraining myself to believe my gut.
Yeah.
Like your gut sounds alarms when shit's going down.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, I don't want to listen to you, gut, because then I'm not going to get this outcome that I want.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing that anymore. And it's been really hard.
It's really hard, but it saves you a lot of time.
It does. I had such good practice with my situationship. Mm-hmm. I dated this guy. He was a lot older than me. And he was nice in the sense that he would always listen to me if I had something to say. So I started practicing speaking up.
Mm.
So if something felt wrong in my gut, I would tell him. I'd be like, hey, I don't like the way you spoke to me, or I don't like the way that this happened or whatever. He would always listen to me and validate it. And I was like, I really appreciated that. That helped me put my like training wheels back on.
Yeah.
I just practiced. I was like, this is so scary. And he was so much like older. I was like, oh my God, he's going to think I'm an idiot.
No.
Like he's going to think I'm like a baby.
No.
But no, he was like, no, this is cool.
And then you found someone and you're like, my favorite thing is that he listens to me and you did it again.
Yeah.
What's one moment where you felt like you were really happy with like your safe place? Like it can be a city, it can be a place, it can be a song, it can be a movie. Like what's your like one moment where you're just like, that's so happy?
I mean, it's definitely my bed.
Really?
Yeah. I think spending a Friday night alone, sober, in my bed when I was single just felt so liberating where I was like, okay, this isn't sad. This isn't lonely. This is so special that I get to be by myself in my beautiful house, hanging out, doing whatever the fuck I want to do because I know at some point I'm going to have a boyfriend. Some point I might have a husband again. Some point I'm going to have kids. And all of this alone time is going to be gone. So like, this is special.
Yeah.
So like girlies that are out there that are lonely, if you can just try to like flip your mindset and be like, no, 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 this is very special because I'm not going to be alone forever.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
And you can like eat like food in your bed and no one says shit.
Yeah, I definitely eat food in my bed.
Are you a cats or dogs person?
Controversial answer. Neither.
Ooh.
Something's wrong with me, but I don't like
animals. Okay. That's fair.
Like none.
Okay. That's fair. You're you. You know who you are.
One of them.
Who's your celeb crush?
When I was a teenager, I just remember Heath Ledger on the cover of Vanity Fair when he was in what's called A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
In that like white tank top. Mm-hmm. I ripped the cover off, taped it on my wall, and I was like, he's the one, he's the only. So he's my number one hall pass.
You like a blondie.
I don't even like a blondie.
Really?
And I don't even like Australian men. I think they're...
cheesy?
Like, they're annoying to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
But my whole family's Australian. But I don't like to, like, hear, like, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't... It's, like, very off-brand for me.
But he's the one.
He's the one.
Got it.
He is the one.
What's one fashion trend you'll never succumb to again?
I was super into Frankie B's.
Uh-huh. The low rise.
Real low rise. And I just don't have the bod for it. Like, yeah. No one needs to be seeing the lower part of my stomach underneath my belly button. Like, yeah. Not a single person needs to see that.
That's like Abercrombie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's what Skims are for, though.
Mm-hmm.
I just wear bodysuits all the time.
Yeah. And then last thing is like one piece of jewelry that everyone should just have in their drawer. One piece.
So I'm going to say the tennis necklace. And one thing that I've been working on that I'm so excited for is I'm actually merging my fine jewelry line with Love AJ next year. So it's going to morph into Love AJ Fine.
Love that.
And I have been doing like tons of research trying to figure out like what do the girlies want? What do they need? And everyone wants really affordable diamond jewelry.
Yeah.
So I have figured out how to make a diamond tennis necklace under $1,000.
Oh my God.
Yes. So I'm developing it right now. It's coming out probably in March of next year. I can't believe I did it.
Amazing.
It's going to be like a game changer. So I would say tennis necklace, and I would say save up all your doll hairs and come to my website in March to buy one.
Yeah. 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 All right. Well, I think we're pretty much done here. Amanda, tell everyone where they can find you, where they can find Love AJ.
Yes. But you can find me on Instagram, Love AJ, spelled L-U-V-A-J. And then you can also find my jewelry on loveaj.com.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.